the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to the Runner's Diary, episode 81. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, our featured fixtures.
And this week, our guest interview is with Holly Stables and Jonathan Keneally. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillar Performance.
Pillar Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillar will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillar Performance product.
Well, I'm joined by our regular co-host who I thought was going to be sunning himself for the weekend, but he came back especially to babysit me. Brian, how are you?
Good to be back. Yeah, I thought about it long and hard, and I said there's no point in missing out and not seeing you, so I made the effort to come back on again this week.
It was an emotional few days, you know, which you've been away. Yeah. You take the fort for us and look after everything, and you know, like the father figure.
I got through it.
How was your week?
Yeah, very good week overall. So for those who don't know, I was in Spain from Wednesday to Sunday. Got in my speed session earlier on in the week on Tuesday, thankfully enough, and got through that quite well. Ran around Parque Cuive area there, which was great. A lot of activity around there on Tuesday. And then for the rest of the week, it was easy runs over in Spain in somewhere around 20, 21 degrees. So it was nice, lovely. I think a few people commented on my Strava there, a nice little area along the promenade there. It stretches for about 6 miles, beach on one side, restaurants and hotels and bars on the other side, and a lot of people jogging and running around. So yeah, good week back. Came back Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. So yeah, back to reality now with a bang.
You? Exactly. Yeah, no, look, I didn't run as much as I wanted to, just out of pure way too busy. But you know, I still got a few days out. We'll get back into the getting out to the routine this week. It's a little bit quieter this week. Weather as well last week was shite, so that doesn't help the situation either.
I can't comment on that.
No, brutal. But when you were away, we did release our second marathon program with Ken Nason and of course with the Cork City Marathon. So episode 2 is now out on our YouTube channel. Brian, did you get a chance to watch it?
I did, yeah, absolutely brilliant again. I saw some of the comments as well on YouTube, and exactly as one or two of the comments said, to the point, informative, to the point, and definitely something for people to follow if they're not sure of what they're doing or if it's their first marathon maybe. I definitely think it's great, and will only get better as well. And great, yeah, that there's an opportunity for people to ask questions. Like, again, it's different to anything I've seen before, more interactive. I've seen a lot of marathon pages or whatever you want to call it, this blank plan, and as we know, there's no one plan fits all, and I'm sure people react to different runs in different ways. So we've got a lot of questions in again, I see, this week. So yeah, it's great, really good.
Yeah, and of course, look, briefly, we just have a competition as well, which is solely on our YouTube channel, which is for a brilliant Irish product, which is available in the Edge Sports. So a thank you to Body Light and to the Edge Sports. They have given us a torch, which is actually for around your waist. Really, really, really handy. Very lightweight, very good. 200 lumens, so perfect for brightness. So go onto our YouTube channel. All you have to do is subscribe to it and just put a comment or even put your name in the comments, and we'll do a draw and really announce the winners on our next video, which will be released next Friday or Saturday coming.
Yeah. So nice prize.
Yeah, lovely prize, in fairness. So again, thank you to Bodylight. They do a full range there, so make sure you check them out on Instagram as well. And of course, make sure you check out TH Sports. But also, Brian, we had a poll last week. We had a discussion.
Healthy debate.
So the question we asked was, do you agree with Parkrun's decision to scrap the records? Now, what was the final tally, do you think?
A resounding agreement with me, not you.
Correct. So there was 60, as we're recording this, was 66 votes, with 46 saying no, they don't agree with it, 11 saying they agree with it, and 9 people say they don't care. So resounding.
Nearly 70%.
Yes, good. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So look, we understand that people Absolutely don't like or don't want the records gone, but look, it's up to Park Run to do whatever they want. So anyway, we're going to move on. So this was, we don't want to get into another debate. So this week's poll, Strava. All right, does Strava have a positive or negative effect on your training? Is the question we're asking this week. So your answer is either positive or negative. And briefly, Brian, what's it for you?
Somewhere in the middle. I like Strava. I like everything that it offers, but certainly you do feel watch. You'll go that extra jog around your house to ground up the mile, or you're watching your weekly mileage or whatever it is. So it can be the Strava, what you call it, doing it for Strava maybe.
Yeah,
But then of
so
course, if it's not on Strava, it didn't happen either.
it
So
doesn't happen.
yeah.
Yeah, so look,
And you?
just for me, oh God, I think at when I was doing my marathon training, in a way, I think it had a negative effect on me because, and we know people like who want to have the perfect numbers and
Yeah, the graph.
the graph being perfect,
Yeah.
and I think that has a negative effect. People won't take a day off just because they don't want the graph ruined, and I just think I was like that for a while where I had to hit X amount of miles, and if I didn't, I would go out again to try and to do the .5 a mile, and it's just absolutely makes no odds or ends. So right now, it doesn't make a difference to me because I don't really care so much as in I go out and I run 5.6 miles and I just go, right, I'm done. I don't care. Where before I would have definitely cared about that.
No, it definitely
So,
has a negative effect if people are out injured. It's
yes.
hard to
Oh, I
watch,
don't go on
generally.
it.
Yeah,
I
a lot
don't
of
go
people
on it.
don't. Yeah, a
Yeah, I
lot of
don't
people
go on
don't.
it. So,
Right.
competitions.
Yeah. So we've again the competitions keep rolling on, and last week's competition was thanks to Courses ASC and their 5 mile road race that takes place on Sunday, March 10th. And again, you can still enter if you're not the person called out. You can still enter. It looks like a great race down there. Good value for money race as well. Just €20 there. So the winner is Watergrass Hills, Colette O'Donoghue. And Colette, you picked two people. So unfortunately, the entry is only for two people. So you can fight amongst the two others there to see who are the two lucky people to go to that. And again, thanks to Shoe Rescue, we'll have a product of Shoe Rescue going to yourself and the one lucky other winner as well. So again, thanks a million to Courses ASC there. Again, check out their social media pages for more details on how you can run in that race. Quite unique race, actually, taking in the Gary Lucas speech as well. So definitely want to have a look at.
Yeah, and this week's competition, Brian.
Yeah, spreading it up the country a small bit this week. So Tala ASC have been in contact with us, and delighted to have a prize this week for Tala ASC 5K road race. That takes place, would you believe, on St. Patrick's Day at 10 a.m. So again, no matter where you're from, it might be a day out in Dublin for many, get a race in the morning, maybe get to St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin afterwards. So this is a 10 a.m. start. It's the Tala ASC annual 5K road race. Entry fee is €20 if you're not lucky enough to win it. Loads of prizes there. Good fun, I believe, and a good club there to support. And again, we'll have more races coming up in the coming weeks from across the country as well, some more prizes. So this one, though, is for the Tala ASC annual 5K road race on St. Patrick's Day at 10 o'clock. Again, same as last week and every week, just tag your running buddy, and we'll be giving results on next week's podcast.
Yeah, that's it. Right, we move on to the news section. Brian, we recorded last week and we finished recording and we sat down and, in different houses, by the way, just so people realize that. And next second our phones kind of went a bit mental and I was like, what is going on? And you saw the sad news of Kelton Kiptum's passing away at 24 years old. So Kelvin and his coach as well, which, is forgotten at times. So Kelvin was married and had two kids. So, it's a very tough time. Did a sh it obviously shocked your brain, but like,
Yeah, funny.
takes a bit of processing, didn't it?
Do you know, as you said, we just came off the recording last Sunday night, and I got one or two messages in. And sometimes you're kind of, is this fake news? Because it was. And then you can go searching and trying to get reputable sites, I suppose, and news sites. And then kind of all of a sudden it was being shared everywhere quite quickly. But yeah, tragic news. I mean, as you kind of said, incredible career in such a short time. I think the sad part is obviously for his family, of course, but and the coach as well. I think even more so is that the unknown of the future. He's a 2-hour 35 marathon so quickly. What,
2 hours
where could he?
35 seconds, by the way, something like
35 seconds. Exactly. I just yeah. His slowest is 2 hours 1:53. So
Yeah.
where would he have gone? You know, I'm sure you would have to think he would have been a guy that would have went sub 2 hour potentially. You know.
I think he was the best hope for it, and I'd say there was going to be a big projects and big everything kind and poured into him to try to get that in races. So like
And I think the other thing as well is like Kipchoge has carried this torch for so long now and made the sport, you know, brought it to kind of stardom, movie stardom stage with these projects. It's probably coming to the end of the road in terms of, you know, pushing it any further.
stage, yeah, of course,
Yeah,
yeah.
so it was nice to see Kipton coming along, maybe passing the passing of the torch, but
Yeah.
unfortunately, no, not to be.
Yeah,
But
and
yeah.
like just for people, like he three marathons he's done. He's obviously he's age of 24, so he's very young coming into marathons. So he's won three of them, and three of them are ranked in the top four of the all-time list. So 2:01:53, 2:01:25, and 2 hours and 35 seconds. So incredible.
Incredible.
So
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
unbelievable career ahead of him he had. And look, obviously Kelvin Kipton, RIP.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, some other news again, as we saw, Spanish runner Dermot Cutter was received a 2-year ban for what you call wearable failures. So again, to explain that one, athletes need to make themselves available for certain testing, and I suppose he'd missed three, I think, was it? Tree. So again, the suspicions are around him. But yeah, got 2-year ban there. So that's big news again. And a very kind of popular athlete has been on the front pages of many of the big events over the last couple of years. So another one caught, I suppose, and
Yeah,
gone.
it's another one. Like, and look, it's the whereabouts thing is well documented. You need to know it. It's like if you miss three, it's very suspicious. I see Spain now are pretty much washing their hands of him because he's obviously from Morocco originally. There is murmurs. I've seen people who are absolutely shocked by it, but then if there's a majority of people are like, yeah, it's obvious. So, it's but again, it's just another one. It's becoming more common. I don't know, you'll be just hearing more about it or what's the story, but I think there's going to be in the next few years some very, 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 very big people caught, I would say. But I just think you have to suspend reality now at the moment and
Go with
just
it.
watch the race with which is not great, but that's life. So we move on. The national senior indoors took place as well in the national indoor arena. Some unbelievable racing throughout the whole weekend. Some big wins for Phil Healy, Sarah Lavin, Adam Nolan, Mark Smith, John Travers. But the race of the weekend had to be Cathal Doyle and Nick Greggs in the 1500 meters. Brian, I sent you this video. What a finish!
And every time I open up my social media, no, it's popping up everywhere. People are sharing it. What do they call it? The race of the ages or something
Race
like that, is it?
for the ages.
Yeah, it's rare you see this, but like again, I think it's every club or race director's dream where you have two males or two females or whatever the race is, you know, more or less, you know, it's crossing the line, falling over the line together. It would even have been hard to pick a winner, I think, in it, to be fair. It was definitely a photo finish, but
Oh, it was, yeah.
flat
So
out, flat out.
0.04 of a second. But diving at the line as well. So it wasn't as if they were just dipping, they were literally diving, hands out in front the whole lot. So it was.
Nice to see the respect as well when they both fell over the line. You know, Griggs got a hold of Doyle, both lying on the ground. It was kind of just a kind of a, you know, they gave it their all. You know, like
Oh, yes.
nothing left to give.
No, unbelievable. And the battle behind as well for third, fourth, and fifth was very good as well. So, some brilliant racing. So we'll see what the future holds. We obviously know what the future holds for the two lads, which is a bright, but you know what? You always see up and coming stars in these races as well. So keep an eye out for some names in the future. So obviously as well, Brian, Virgin Media came out with some great news over the last week with televising more athletics. So Seville Marathon was their first one this weekend. They're going to do the Diamond Leagues, and they have a few other big events as well, which they're going to be covering, which is brilliant. It needs that. You need this. I don't know what like personalities in
Coverage and
running and
personalities like any
coverage, and
sport really, like, yeah.
and get it out there. So it was brilliant. So Unfortunately, I couldn't watch Seville, but I know you were tracking it. You were away in Spain, so you didn't watch it on Virgin Media, but it was
But
a
I did. I
brilliant.
actually did
Did
last
you?
night.
Okay,
Yeah,
I
I
let
did.
that out. Okay, and so
I caught up with it.
it was a brilliant day for the Irish, but mainly a lot for our guests as well, past guests.
Yeah, and I tell you another funny thing. Like I was tracking all morning yesterday. I'd all 20 odd runners in my Seville marathon tracker, and we go through some of them in a minute. As you said, a lot of past guests. But if you watch the footage, right, the Irish are all over it. I mean, there's Kilkenny City Harriers. There's Anthony O'Brien there. We had Gary O'Hanlon shows up in the footage quite regularly. It's we do see a good few Irish in it because a lot of them actually kind of running around the lead women as well. There was two Irish running around the lead women, so they're constantly in the footage. So we showed up as well in it. But yeah, as you said, a lot of past guests. So obviously Ryan Creech had a storming performance, 2 hours 12 there. We'll get onto it more in a minute. Ryan had a difficult few weeks, but he went and he did, what he set out to do. And again, it's unsure at the moment where that lands him, but I don't think he could have given much more, to be fair to him. It was an incredible performance.
No, and I don't think he could have. And we don't exactly. That's the problem with this point system. You haven't a clue where this actually puts him. Is he on at the moment? He has a good chance. He's put himself within the, it's there. It's just the finishing line of it to cross it. So fingers crossed for Ryan. Obviously, people may know that Ryan and Chloe's father passed away last week. So we send our condolences to Ryan and Chloe and all of the family, because it must have been such a difficult time, and it just puts Ryan's run into massive perspective again when he can go out and run that with all that in the back of him. But he's put up in the post. He'd be lost without Chloe, and he would be. The two of them are inseparable. If you see one, you see the other. So it is a very emotional time for them, but. Well done, Ryan. An incredible, incredible run. And everybody, and I mean, like, the message going out are just so proud of Ryan over that run because it's just incredible.
But yeah, some others, Gary O'Hanlon, as we mentioned, Sinead Kane, who was a previous guest, had a super run again, who would, as mentioned in a couple of months back when we had her on, unsure of her running, getting back running, suffering a lot of injuries, had a great run there. I can't even,
Emery McGlynn.
Anne-Marie McGlynn,
Yeah, Conor McCauley.
Conor McCauley, Emmett Dunleavy paced Anne-Marie Glenn for 20 miles. And as he said, his no post, his engine light came on. So he still had a super incredible time of, I think it was 2:40 something, was it? So well done, Emmett. Well done, Anne-Marie. Great to see it. Like, as you said, especially with it being on Irish TV. Very impressive in fairness,
Yeah, and then of course,
One thing though that I
one.
shocked me when I watched it, and water tables and the picking of water, it's just like anytime I watch these big events, I'm just shocked at how wrong it goes for so many. They had so many elites, right, that they had to hold two meetings on the night beforehand. There's such a big elite field there. They held two meetings to go through the water pickups. At the first water station, the women were to go to the left and the men were to go to the right in the elites. And a lot of the men went to the left. Now, whether that's a language barrier, communications issue the night beforehand, I don't know. But several times you'd see people missing the water stations, which is hard to believe
Interesting.
at that level,
Also, obviously, we can't go without mentioning Andy, who was on the show with us last week. So, unfortunately, Andy had to pull out after 8 miles, just like in real life. He's a pain in the arse, so that's what he had. No, we were gutted for him, but look. I know we've both been speaking to him. He'll come back stronger. He had a good block. This is marathon training, and this is exactly what marathon training is. You go in thinking everything is perfect, and something goes wrong, unfortunately. So
Look,
that's the mystery of it.
he wasn't alone yesterday. It
No.
happens, and I think that's an important message for people out there. As he said himself, he had a perfect marathon training block, everything went to plan. It's just, it's so much on the day that people, you need all the factors to go in your favor, and it's not that easy,
Exactly.
Well done,
Right.
Andy.
Yeah, well done, Andy, and looking to carry on next time. But hopefully Cork Marathon will be on the horizon for you. So we will move on to our results section, sponsored by Wellbeings Coffee of Glanmire and Neptune. So make sure you join them on Sundays and Wednesdays for coffee run. Jesus, can we talk at a chat? So we're going to start today with Imre in the Rathen Woods in Mallow. So head over to Mags Hassett for her report on the Imre race.
Mags Hassett here with the race report from Imre Rathen Woods Trail Race on a mild February Sunday, the 18th of February. 154 runners were entered for this fast trail race, the fifth in the Winter Spring Trail League. The winners of the long course, distance 9.2 kilometres and climb at 250 metres, were female 1 Keely Tideswell, 2 Carl Finn, 3 Sarah Whelan, male 1 Barry Tuhig, 2 Barry Hartnett, 3 Nick Hogan. The winners of the short course, distance 4.2 kilometres, were female 1 Bella Curling, 2 Isabel Hartnett, 3 Catherine Hassett, male 1 David Collins, 2 Seamus Meegan, 3 Marius Luca. Thanks to the race director Dara Wiley and Ida Kelleher, the Mallow AC Club and all volunteers for making this another great Imra race. Next race in the Imra Munster calendar is the Clonmel Trail Half Marathon on Saturday, the 24th of February.
And thank you, Mags, for that. Again, now, I think we might have heard one of those or two of those
yes,
names before.
It's getting a bit boring, you know, isn't it? Barry Tuig and Keely Teasville, Jesus, and Carol Finn, in fairness, is getting up regularly as well. So, yeah, incredible run. I think Barry is 4 for 4 or 5 for 5 at this stage.
And rumour has it, am I right in saying that he cycled to and from the event?
Correct. Cycle to the event and cycle to home again. So good workout.
Good workout.
Good workout.
Man,
yeah. Barry doesn't do things easy, in fairness.
No, Barry is a machine. So well done to all who took part in the IMRA races. You know, it is brilliant and fairness of it. And again, thanks to Megs and thanks to the IMRA team as well for sending on the report.
Yeah, exactly. So Sunday was a busy day for racing. And another big one was the Tommy Ryan Memorial Carrigaline 5 mile road race held by Eagle AC. There was 300 finishers there. Superb event. Got great feedback from that one. Well organised by our friends Rory and Karen. And again, as you know, they gave us a blog on the lead up to that event as well. And we'll hear from Rory as well in a minute there now as well. But to call out the results, first on there was John Mead from St Finbar's in a time of 26.50. Second was Eagle SC member Adam Doyle in 27.25. Third from St Finbar's, Sean Tuig in a time of 27.34. In the ladies' event, Hannah Steeds from Neville SC, 28.48. Rita Gaffney from Mallow SC, 31.12. And third was Lisa Crowley from Watergrass Hill SC in a time of 33.16.
Yeah, and now we'll hear from Rory himself on how the race went.
Hi, guys. Just a very brief report from our race this morning. We had a very successful day in Carrigaline for the 35th annual Tommy Ryan Memorial 5 mile race organised by our club Eagle AC. The weather was very kind to us, greeting early arrivals with a fantastic sunrise as we drove into town. We picked up a few entries on the back of that this morning with a total of 350 in the end. Very healthy indeed. Helping us raise a nice amount for our two charity partners, Carrigaline Meals and Wheels and the Faroaga Heron Project. Our winners this year were the wonderful John Mead of St Finbar's in 26.50 and Lee Vale's Hannah Steeds in a PB time of 28.48. Our team honours went to St Finbar's men and the ladies of Watergrass Hill. We're very grateful to all our competitors and their brilliant supporters who packed the finish area in the spring sunshine, and to all our wonderful members who turned out in huge numbers to ensure we could put on a safe and successful event once again. And finally, thanks to our sponsors, a long-time sponsor, The Edge Sports, who sponsor all our category prizes, and to our newer arrivals, the Colin DeKayser Architects, who joined us last year and again this year to sponsor the course bonuses. They weren't won this year, but they've kindly left the money in the pot to be donated to our two charities. So thanks to them very much. And we'll see you all in Fota for the Cheetah Run in May. Thanks, guys.
And thank you for that, Rory. And well done to you and Karen. You know, it was great to see the numbers out. Got even organised the weather, which was very important. That's how good of race directors they are. And you can learn from them, Brian.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, you can learn from them.
I'll talk to Rory and
talk
see
to Rory. How he got that one going. Right, we move on to North Cork AC 5K in Donnerail Park, which had 172 finishers, which was won by past guest Donald Coakley of Leavell AC in 1645. Another past guest, Kieran McKeown, was in second place, from Grange Chamois AC in 1708, and in third place was Stephen Crowley from Grange Chamois AC in 1719. In the ladies, Michaela Flynn from North Cork took the win in 2005 with is it Ida O'Flaherty in a time of 22:26 in second, and Adele Buckley from Bueen Trail Blazers AC in a time of 22:37 rounding out the podium. Very impressed with that race is the fact that there were so many junior members took part in it as well. A lot of see our junior men and or junior boys and junior girls running in it.
North Cork SC have a very strong underage section under the guidance of Michael Hurley, obviously. But Michaela Flynn, their first lady home, it's actually a young girl. So I've seen Michaela a lot of races, and her brother as well. I think Thomas is his name. Very strong runner. So well done to North Cork SC.
And your club mate in third place, Adele, but in Tralee, you had another club mate on the pro podium.
Great weekend for our club. So we had Adele, as you said, they're third in North Cork. We had Conor McCrory in Seville smashing. He was going for 3 hour marathon. He ended up with a 2:52, so smashing that. And over to Tralee next. So in Tralee, the Tralee 10 miler was on the Valentine's run. And first home there was again another club mate, Tadhg O'Sullivan from Bueen Trailblazers in a time of 55:17. So well done, Tadhg there. Second, John O'Brien, again, friend of the show, in 57:47. And third, Martin Dineen in a time of 58:28. So strong running there. In the ladies' event, Yulia Tarasova was first lady home in 1:06:34. Second, Margaret Foley in 1:08:36. And third, Sarah Leahy in a time of 1:09:12. So good running all around there in
Good
Tralee.
running. And again, look, that's just a selected of races that we've seen. If you want your race results called out, just give us a shout, send them on to us, tag them on to us, because unfortunately, myself and Brian have lives and outside of this as well, and we cannot keep an eye out on every single result. The only way to get your result guaranteed to call out is to give us a tag or send us on our Instagram direct messages.
And now to catch up on events elsewhere and some of the Seville running as well, we'll head over to Lindy Norton for her roundup.
Well, I'm not going to say much about the All Ireland indoors, which took place over the weekend and which you've discussed already, I greatly suspect. However, I will mention the thrilling men's 1500 metre final, which ended with Cathal Doyle of Clonard Harriers flinging himself across the line to hold off the challenge of young pretender Nick Griggs. Earlier in the week, Doyle had run a personal best 3:39:10 at the Belgrade meet in Serbia, which puts him top of the current Irish rankings. Other highlights from Abbottstown included the return of former Irish record holder Phil Healy, who was winning her third 200 metre title, a 20th national triple jump title, outdoors and indoors, for Sarah Buggy of St Albans, and a barnstorming win for Sarah Lavin in the 60 metre hurdles, with Sarah, a rare big name star, turning out for the championships. In the men's 3,000 metres, John Travers of Donore Harriers was winning the title for a fourth time. Second was Mitchell Byrne of Rathfarnham WSAF, like Travers, a staunch club man who's running well at the moment. About the only controversy of the weekend concerned the inclusion of 200 metres races, which are no longer part of the international indoor programme. That's because the banked corners give an unfair advantage to athletes in the outer lanes. Abroad, the sprinter Gina Akpi-Moses of the Blackrock Club in Louth returned to racing after 2 years when running 7:43 for 60 metres in London last Wednesday, while in the USA, Abdul Lajil of Donore Harriers became Ireland's latest sub-4 minute miler, running 3:59:89 at a meet in Boston. So, who else was watching this the Seville Marathon on Sunday morning and thinking, "Wow, that is a city I really must visit"? As it happened, a large Irish contingent was visiting, and leading them home was Leigh Vale's Ryan Creech in a personal best 2:12:28. Best of the Irish women was the durable Anne-Marie McGlynn of Letterkenny, who was third W40 in 2:33:31. Other Irish finishers included Conor Duffy of Glasslough, triathlete Anthony O'Brien, Gerald Ford of Kilkenny, Conor McCauley Leigh Vale, Clonliffe pair Gary O'Hanlon and Owen Taggart, Ray Hines, Mullingar Harriers, Grace Lynch, DSD, Adriana Mulligan Longford, sorry, Joyce Wolf of Leavell, who was second W45, plus many more. Well done all. The cross-country season isn't quite over, and winners at the annual Ross na Héireann in Dunlear, County Louth, were Fiona McKenna of UCD and Kian MacDonald of Ballyroane, Abbeyleith and District. You really need to change that name, guys. Special shout out for Ronan Wogan of Raheny Shamrock. He took a break from his timekeeping duties with My Run Results to finish fourth and first M45. Winners of the Central Bank BHAA the Central Bank BHAA 4 mile cross country in Kiltipper Park, Dublin, were Colin Parnell and Laura MacDonald. Kiltipper is a new Dublin park with the land bought by South Dublin County Council in an inspiring move a few years ago. Nearby Tymon Park, another public park managed by South Dublin, was the venue for the third Women's Meet and Train Cross Country League round, where the winner was Lisa Gaughan of Dundurn South Dublin. Great race and great cake. A small point on cross country, which used to be the backbone of the winter season only a few short years ago. Over the weekend, the World Cross Country University Championships were held at Muscat in Oman. No Irish athletes were competing. Will the World Cross Country, or not universities, in Serbia next month be treated with the same indifference? Good luck.
Brilliant stuff again by Lindy there. Thanks a million. And again, super running over the weekend. It's really getting interesting now, I'm sure. Big races are just rolling in one after the other. And a lot of big races coming up in the coming weeks as well. So best of luck to everybody out there. And with that, we'll go to some of those races now in our featured fixtures section.
Right, so we start off with the Kinsale 10 Mile, which takes place on February the 25th at 12 p.m. So it's held by River Stick Kinsale Athletic Club and the Kinsale Community Centre. So down in Kinsale, you know, Brian, you're a high power job. You probably have your yacht down in Kinsale at the moment, so you'll be able to stay down there, run the race and go back and happy out. So this is, I think, the fifth year of the event, so it's going to be bigger and better. So make sure you check out eventmaster.ie for entry is €25. So make sure you get your in fast.
Nice race and finishes on the 200 meter track below there by the school as well. So a nice finish as well. Next one up is one we had competition about there recently and obviously sold out. So you can't enter this one, but we'll still call it out. It's the Adair 10K and that takes place on the 25th of February. Again, great race, superb race, beautiful location and good course as well. Always big numbers there. And again, that one is sold out. So no chance of entry at the moment. The last two golden tickets were sent out by us there last week. So again, best of luck to everybody involved with the Adair 10K.
Yeah, and the next one is last week's competition, which is, of course, the ASA 5 Mile Road Race, which takes place on March the 10th at 9:30 a.m. from Gary Lucas Beach. God, I can't talk today. €20 for entry. So it's, again, we said, lovely start and finish on the beach. So lovely settings and down around the old head of Kinsale. So where else would you want to be on a Sunday morning?
And I think there is a cap on the numbers there. So again, get in sooner rather than later, I would say. Next one is this week's competition. Again, thanks to our friends at Talla AC. Their annual 5K road race takes place on the 17th of March, that's St. Patrick's Day, at 10 a.m. So if you're not lucky enough to win this week's competition, if you're local, definitely go to it. If you're not, make a day out in Dublin. It's €20 entry. And you get a T-shirt with that one as well. Great prizes there. So again, I think there's a donation to the Endometrius Association of Ireland. And again, you can enter through Eventmaster or check out Talla AC's social media pages for more details there.
Yeah, and then it's a very big race at this time of year, which is the Mallow 10-mile road race, which is our competition next week as well. So let's just give people heads up on that. So that is happening on the 24th of March. Great race, always well supported race, fast race. You know, we both of us have done it a number of times, Brian.
Yeah, very tactical race actually. There's slight pulls in some sections, but a lot of flat to downhill as well. So very good race.
Always well, very well organized. So make sure you get signed up for that. That's the Mallow 10 mile race on the 24th of March.
Yeah, another interesting one is the Killarney Valley AC on Good Friday, and that's the 29th of March at 6 p.m. That would be of interest. I've heard a few people talking about that one already. So Killarney Valley AC 5 mile road race. It's 6 p.m. on March the 29th, and a lot of it is in and around the streets of Killarney. So I would expect quite flat, and a good one to attend as well.
Yeah, and I've heard a few from people from Cork and from other areas heading down to that already. And new one to the feature fixtures is the Bandon AC Road Race 5K, which is on the 25th of April at 7:30 p.m. So this is to help facilitate, I think, to raise the funds for their new 400-meter track, which is going to be a great addition to down to Cork Athletics and to, you know, to obviously Bandon as well. So that is on the jeepers, the 55th of April at 7:30 p.m. So Eventmaster again, if for more information.
Huge club, and it's actually big
Yeah,
numbers.
massive. Yeah.
And then finally, obviously, I'm going to call out the full series here. So we have the Rebel Diamond League, which is four races. So we have the Bantair 5 mile is first up, and that's with Mount Hilary AC, and that takes place on the 10th of March. We have the Drumahan 5K, race number two in that league, on the 20th of April. We have the Boyne Trailblazers 5K on the 12th of May, and the Butterland 4 miler on the 17th of May. So four races in that league, all quality races, well organized. A lot of work going in, obviously, for the first race right now, which is the Bantair 5 miler on the 10th of March. And again, we'll have a competition coming up in the coming weeks for an entry to all four races. So that's a good prize to win as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a very good one. So that's our featured fixtures. Now we move on to our interview, which is sponsored by Shoe Rescue.
Now,
So
would you
me
believe Shoe Rescue? I've promoted them out in Spain, and
Oh,
I have a
I'm
very interested customer in Spain who's going to I'm going to give a sample to, and I'm sure I'll keep them happy. So, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, there we go. No, Eddie's gonna be delighted with that. So it's gone, you know, to Spain as
The
well.
person is Irish, but
That's irrelevant. Shh, say nothing.
the sale was done in Spain.
So that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But no, make sure, look, you get it. It's on Amazon. It's in the Edge Sports. It's in a, you know, Cummins Sports. It's available in many, many shops. But it does 100% make a big difference to your shoes and to your life because everyone will be happy around you. So that's so important. And also, as Brian has said before, it's a great toy for the kids to in the shoe, you know, what was it
Shake
again?
the
Take,
powder
yeah,
around the shoe, yeah.
great.
Spread it around the shoe.
So this week we had Holly Stables and we had Jonathan on. So people obviously know Jonathan from being on the show, and he's obviously a big help to us on the show as well.
And
And
unlucky to be related to yourself.
I'm lucky to be related to myself. And then Holly Stables is the community manager for Asics Front Runners. So, and by the way, incredible runner. So, you know, from everything from marathon up to ultra marathon. So she's run 2:37 for the marathon. She's now gone into the mad stuff, the longer stuff. But very, very good. Listen, we also talk everything for Asics Front Runners. So how you can apply for it and what the benefits of it is. So it is definitely worth listening to, and I would encourage everybody to go on and then to apply for it because they are looking for Irish people, and that is important. So, Brian, you weren't here for it, so enjoy it, sit back, and we'll see you in a minute. So, I am delighted today to be joined by two Asics front runners, one who is a lot better than the other. The first I'll introduce is Holly Stables, Holly from Black Trail Runners and one of the head ASICS front runners, if I am correct. What's your exact title, Holly?
I love listening. Head front runner. No, I'm the community manager, so
The community manager.
I have to manage them all. I
So
try to anyway.
you're managing the next person in the screen next to you. His claim to fame is he is the brother to the co-host of the Runner's Diary podcast. He's also the brother to the fastest Keneally in the Keneally household. That is Jonathan. How are you?
Very good. Delighted to get the call up to be co-host today.
Co-host today. So Brian, as people might, you know, he'd be on the show earlier, but he's on holidays, sunning himself. So I roped Jonathan in. So Holly, We're going to start this. Jonathan has done this before. We're going to start this our not so rapid fire question. All right. So
yeah, no worries.
We're going to flay through this. With myself and Jonathan, going to go every second one. I think the first question, one or two of these, we're definitely going to know anyway. So I start with the first one: road, treadmill, trail, or track.
Ooh, trail, just.
Okay, just ahead of road.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll touch on the subject later on, so we'll come back to this. All right. Yeah, because this is.
I was going to say this is quick fire because it's not.
Yeah, it's not. No, this is not so rapid fire question, so it's not so rapid. So you're okay. Jonathan.
Yeah. So the next one, it's usually favorite shoe brand, but probably should go with a favorite ASICS shoe instead of shoe brand.
Okay.
Oh, is this the question?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Super Blast.
Yes, I agree. They're amazing.
I've yet to try them, so I don't know. So I haven't got a pair off Jonathan yet. miles or kilometres?
Kilometres.
Jesus.
See, all the young people do kilometres.
God almighty. Yeah. Shocking.
Yeah. Millennials.
I actually am shocked. I'm shocked. No, I thought it'd be miles in a while day anyway. But go on, Jonathan, next.
Who's the most famous person in your phone contact list?
Can I talk? Look, the famous person.
Walk away. I can carry on to the next question. We can go back to it in a second.
I mean, I haven't got their number, but I've hung out with them at, no, it's got to be telephone number, hasn't it? Oh, that's a really good one. Well, it depends what you mean by famous. Do you mean like running
famous? It could be famous to you. So it can be anybody. Like, who did you have, Jonathan?
I actually picked Holly, so my phone list isn't very good, so.
Oh my God, you need to get out more.
I had Sonia. Yeah. Sonia Sullivan was mine.
Was it? Now, that is cool. Well, I was going to say, actually, her coach, her ex-coach, who is my coach, and he is pretty famous, but only to, like, probably older runners.
Go on.
So that's Alan Story.
Alan, yeah. Alan used to coach my training partner.
Oh, there you go. He's coached everyone, let's be honest.
Everybody. Mo Farah.
Everyone.
Well. Yeah.
I was going to say Mo Farah, but I haven't got his number anymore, but I did.
Okay, we count that as all right. We go with the old one.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, then.
Favorite distance?
Marathon.
All right.
Favorite race you've done?
Oh, it's so difficult. There's so many. Can I say three?
Yeah, go on.
No?
Go on.
I would say Comrades, the Arc of Attrition 100 is amazing, and UTMB.
So I love how your favourite distance is marathon.
I know.
Yet your three favourite races are the opposite of a marathon.
I think because they're all like destinated the places.
Yeah, they're all big races.
They've been marathons. Yeah, if they've been marathons, it's been different. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all big races. All right, I'll allow the three. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Nobody else is allowed this, right, Holly? You're the only one, okay? So,
all right, I'll say it to everyone.
Training, hot or cold weather? Which one do you prefer?
Hot.
Okay.
Easy, that one.
Morning or evening runner?
Morning. Every time. I really hate training evening.
Okay, now we've a couple of questions left. These are the ones that stump some people. Three people, dead or alive, that you would like to sit down and have a drink with?
Three people.
Yeah, it can be anybody. Last week, I'll give you an example. We had Taylor Swift was mentioned last week and all. Oh. So.
That must have been young people you were talking to.
Yes.
I would say Miriam Margolis. You know who she is?
Nope.
Well, look her up. She was in Harry Potter. She's an actress. Very, very funny.
Never seen Harry Potter.
What? Stephen Fry.
Okay, good.
And I'd probably have to probably have a runner or something, maybe. So maybe
Either you don't like the third person or you just want two people.
Yeah.
I'm happy with those, I guess.
You're happy with two of them. And Jonathan.
Yeah. No, because I don't really understand a lot of what he's saying, so it'd be That's pointless good. Having dinner, but it'd be fine if he was just, you know, just passing me the wine or something or the beers. But
yeah,
I'll have to come back on that one. Yeah,
okay. It's That's funny, okay.
I can't really...
That's grand. Don't worry about it. It's all right. We want to hold you to it. You gave us three and another answer, two and that. It levels out.
Favorite book or movie?
Sports related, by the way. I need to write that in there.
What? Sports. It has to be sports related. It
has to be sports related. This is a sports podcast.
Okay, book would be, so running book is Once a Runner.
Okay.
And it's American collegiate book. And then... Jonathan's writing that down on Amazon. And then favourite running film.
You don't have to. You can do one or the other if you're okay.
Okay. My favourite film is Princess Bride.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Right. Last one. So this catches some people, right? So, right. If you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, who would it be and why?
Sorry, what were you going
to say? Like my example would have been Ray Houghton scoring a goal against Italy in World Cup 94.
Okay, so it would probably be... Oh, it's probably a real cliche, isn't it, saying it? I hate saying this, but it probably would have been Radcliffe when she ran 2:15 in London.
Mentioned as well last week.
Yeah. But it's only because I can't think of anything else. But I do think it would be pretty cool. But really, because if you think about all this, that was pre super shoes and everything, pre all the nutrition stuff that's happened. I would say that was such a great, huge world record that stood for such a long period of time, comparatively to the world record that seemed to be go every couple of months at the moment. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep. So, we got the same answer. We had Rose Harvey and Steph McCall on last week. So they gave that answer and they gave Johnny Wilkinson's drop goal is what they gave.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, so, right. No, that was the very rapid fire questions there that went over in no time. So, we'll move on to yourself, so Holly, all right? So, You mentioned your favorite distance is marathon. You've had plenty of success in marathons representing your 2:37 marathon PB, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
You've represented Great Britain in the Europeans and you've represented England in the Commonwealths.
That's right, yeah.
And then you decided, screw that, I'm going to go and do the mad stuff. So, first of all, we start with the start. How was the marathon? What made you do the marathon?
Oh, what, the very first marathon?
Yeah, why did you get into marathons, running?
Because I went to university in London, and which wasn't a good idea, but I was ended up there. And as a result, when you're in London, you might go and watch the marathon. I didn't really know anything about it. I remember I used to watch it sometimes on television and didn't really think anything about it. But then I went to watch it in person and I don't know what it was, but I did have a couple of pints of Stella and a burger. And that was it sort of in the morning. That's sort of what I was like then. And I watched the marathon and I saw it and I just thought, wow, there was people. And it was the very, very hot year. I can't remember what year it was. It might be like 96. It was very, very hot and people were wearing like rhino outfits, dressed as centipedes and running all different ages, all different paces. And I honestly said to my mate who I was with, I said, do you know what? I might do this next year. And of course, all my mates thought I was taking the piss. And I sort of was, but I ended up signing up for a charity for one of the Save the Rhinos charity. Luckily, I didn't have to dress up as a rhino.
Just about that. My next question, but thanks anyway.
That may have affected my love of marathons. But and then I did it the next year. And of course, the weather was the complete opposite. It just pissed it down and rained for the whole time. And I was wearing cotton T-shirts. I wore Bath rugby shorts, which were thick and cotton. You know what rugby shorts like.
Mm-hmm.
Inappropriate socks. I did wear Asics shoes, just saying. But yeah, I finished and everything had rubbed. Everything was bleeding. But I finished and I didn't walk. And I was like, actually... That was quite good.
And what was the first time? Can you remember?
Yeah, I can actually. It was 3 hours 57.
3:57. All right, perfect.
Yeah, which is all right. You know,
very, 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 very good. So you then progressed. Did you get the love for it from the first race, or did you hate it when you crossed the line and, like everyone does, never doing this again, go home and sign up again?
No, I finished. My grandparents were there. My parents were there. And then we went back to my flat and they proceeded to fall asleep on the sofa as well. I sat on the floor because there was nowhere else for me to sit. And then we watched the highlights and I was chatting away. I turned around and they were all asleep. And I was sitting there just like, oh, okay. So from there, I got the bug and I was going to a gym. That's where I was doing a lot of any running, which wasn't very much. And then from there, I did get the bug and I probably went a little bit too overboard. And then the next year I signed up and I ran 3 hours and 15. And then after that, I got very bad. I broke my foot. And then I basically went down the rabbit hole of just doing too much. And then what happened was I actually stopped doing that much. And I got into sport in a different area, but I was still running, but I just wasn't doing it properly. I ran lots of marathons around the same times. And it wasn't until sort of mid to late 20s is where I took it a bit more seriously. Like I'd done no speed work or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's when I started
just
to change.
Just go for easy runs and just kind of just...
Treadmill,
I wouldn't,
yeah,
and I wouldn't even say a lot of that probably wasn't easy. It was still probably running a lot harder than what it was.
Well, I just ran the same pace on the treadmill every day. And then lo and behold, when I did the marathons, it always was around the same time, which was the same pace I ran on the treadmill. Yeah. I mean, who would have thought at the time
that
would be the case? But yeah, obviously I realise that now as a coach, but at the time, I didn't realise, I didn't put two and two together.
And when did you take it seriously?
It was when I actually moved back. So I lived in London. I worked in London after I graduated. And then I actually got a job. I moved to Oxford, got a job there. I was basically managing gyms and health clubs. So I got into sport. But I was sort of teaching classes and managing. It was management sort of stuff. And then from there, I got a job. I hated my job in Oxford. And my mum sent me a newspaper clipping. These are back in the days, you know, when there wasn't Google or anything.
Yeah.
It was newspapers. So mum sent me a newspaper clipping of a job back home in Bath. And so I went for the job interview and I got it. And it wasn't until I went back there, which would have been 2000, early 2000s, I got into running again because I was right. It was right next to Bath University, which is a very good sort of athletics place. And I ran 3:06. And then someone said, you should maybe look at getting a coach. And that's when I went to the university to see if I could speak to someone. And it was literally a couple of weeks before I was going to do Berlin. And that was Berlin Marathon that I went to do that year. And I downloaded a training plan from Runner's World, which had a bit of speed work in it. So I started doing a little bit of speed work. So I went to Berlin and I ran 2:59. And I was like, oh, all my dreams come true. That's enough now.
Light bulb.
Yeah. And then that's when I went to start training at Bath. I joined Team Bath, which was a really good club at the time. Still is. And then from there, I started training. And sort of 4 months later, I went to London 5 months later and I ran 2:48. So it was a big jump.
So it's a big progression. I know obviously you stagnated for a while, but then once you did introduce the, you know.
I went on the track. I'd never been on a track. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does make a big difference. And like, you know, even Jonathan at the moment, you know, we're trying to introduce a bit of speed work to Jonathan because it does make the big difference to it, you know, and I think it does bring you to that step forward. So when did what came first, Commonwealths or Europeans?
Well, actually, it was 2010 and the qualifying time was under 2:28 and it was like an unofficial trial. I mean, like the UK, we don't really have trials as such. But in London Marathon was like the final sort of trial race. And they said that, you know, that we could take 6 athletes to the Europeans, girls and boys, in Barcelona. And so it was, you know, if you've got the qualifying time or you had to run the qualifying time and you had to come in the top 6. So it was a very stressful race. And it was really exciting because we would make a lot. There was a group of us all running together and we were all like, it was like Ali Dixon, everyone. We were just like checking each other out, going, who's going to go first? And because all we wanted to do is run the time. We didn't want to go mega fast because obviously if you were going to go to the Europeans, it was going to be a big year. And yeah, Helen Decker at the time went off fast and we let her go. And then there was a group of us and then one by one, people fell off. And I was sixth woman. So I didn't know whether I'd get the call up, and I got the call up on the train on the way home, which was really cool. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd ever get a GB vest to a championship. So I went to, so the Europeans was first. And the first person to finish the trials in London automatically got a call up for Commonwealth. And then because when I went to the Europeans, I came third counter in the Europeans, so I actually performed much better in the Europeans than I did in the trials. I got selected to go to Commonwealth of that, which was great. But the issue was I'd already ran two marathons, and then we had to go and continue that cycle and bearing in mind Europeans in Barcelona, this was July at midday. It was so, so, so hot. And then we went from there to Delhi to do another marathon in horrendous heat and humidity. So I'll be honest, by the end of that, I was like, I am done.
Yeah, they love adding heat to these massive races, don't they? Because like we were in Munich. In Munich for the Europeans, and again they had to make the times way earlier because the heat was getting so warm, and they had to bring it earlier, and people literally collapsing and all out of it. I don't know why they just can't pick not as hot anywhere, go early in the morning with them. So which one was your better experience? Obviously I would presume the Europeans
by far. I mean, I learned a lot from that race. I got stitch sort of halfway, which I'd never had before, and I didn't know. I literally dropped to the back of the pack because I didn't know what to do. It was so painful, but I managed to get myself out of it, and I managed to push on and finish strong. It was like 34 degrees, I finished well. So for me, it was a massive achievement, and to come in the top three out of the six was amazing. And obviously, to stand in the stadium and get a medal was, you know, by far something I'll never forget. So yeah, but Delhi was hard. Delhi was just, and we had to go away to holding camp in Doha for weeks before, which again was even hotter. So it was not great for endurance athletes, to be honest.
Yeah, oh no, it's not. And then, so it's not great for endurance athletes, and you talk about heat and you talk about this. So you decided eventually over time that, right, screw the marathon, it's too easy. I'm going to do a bit of trails, and I'm going to do a bit of mental stuff. You know, what possessed you?
So actually, you say it's too easy. It was too hard. I had enough of trying to repeat everything. So I did run 2:37 five times, and all within seconds of each other, even though I tried to run faster. My other times, like my half marathon time, I suggested I could run much faster, and I just couldn't put it together. I was consistent, but I wanted to be more than consistent. You know, I wanted to have a breakthrough, and I didn't, and I was just sick of it. So I decided I went to Houston for one last time, Houston in January, because I thought it'd be good to go somewhere else. It's flat. And I finished within 2 seconds of my PB again. And it was that point I just thought, oh, fuck this, I've had enough. And so I'd listened to Marathon Talk, and I'd heard of this race called Comrades. I knew that if I was going to do an ultra, I couldn't do trail or anything, because I'd never done anything like that. I hated cross country, even though I did it. So I was like, well, Comrades seems the one to do because it's an ultra, but it's on road. So that's much more my wheelhouse. And it just looked really cool. And listening to the guys, Martin and Tom, who went out to do it, if you ever listen to them, Comrades podcast, it is like really cool. It really makes you, you know, your hairs on the back of your arm stand up. And so I contacted Comrades to see if I could go out there, and they gave me a place. And so I went out to do that. So that was my first ultra. And it was amazing.
Not a bad first ultra, to be fair to you.
No, I mean, it was amazing. But I mean, now I think back and think, oh, like 90K, oh, it's not that bad. But at the time, it was like, wow, that's a long way.
90K, what is it? Do you know what I mean? Jesus. So you then obviously, you moved on, you came second recently in a 50 miler, was it?
The arc. So I did the arc of attrition 100 last year, and then this year I did the arc 50, the baby race, as they call it.
Yeah. So you just say to, you know, go a little easier on yourself. Is that just, you know?
Even though I thought it was harder actually than the 100, because you're pushing.
You're faster. The longer the distance is going, I know it sounds silly, but you are going at a slower pace, which is just more manageable. I know you said to go a longer time, but it is in your head, even just go, yeah, it's grand, I can do it. Jonathan, you've done obviously a bit of trail. You know, do you have any intentions of ever going up to this kind of mad distances?
No, I think now the 32k I did 2 years ago is probably the max. I'm doing 10k trail this weekend. Yeah, I'll go mad. So.
Yeah, it's a bit slight big difference. Add another 80 onto that, and you're 80k there. You'll be all right. You won't be too far. So, I know that was a brief overview, Holly, because I do want to kind of move on to the ASICS front runners, which I think, I know the applications are currently open right now, because as I filled out my application this morning, thanks to the help of Jonathan finding my URL codes and stuff like that. So, I start off first, right, before we go into the application process. Holly, you're obviously, you know, you look after everybody, you make sure everyone's is happy. Jonathan, you applied for it yourself. When did you apply for it?
Was it 2016 or 2017? So it was the second year of it. 2018. Okay. Good memory. So the second year of it, I remember seeing it in 2017. And by the time I went to apply for it, it had closed already. So applied for it in 2018. Never expected anything from it. You know, I'm not a fast runner. Didn't have a huge social media presence. But I did love ASICS.
I can vouch for that. Like, you know, he's probably said this. Jonathan has been ASICS mad since the day he made me go for my first run. And, you know, he's when he got the ASICS front runner, I was like, yeah, it's a perfect fit for him. Do you know what I mean? So, but you don't have to wear ASICS. You don't have to have pictures of wearing ASICS for this, all right? But
yes, you do.
You know, you don't have to, okay? Just carry on, John.
But yeah, so I got the email. I remember getting it and I was like, what? And it was in there like, oh, you're going out to Birmingham in February, you know, for a kickoff event. And like, I was like, whoa, I was there looking at flights. And I was like, what do I do? And I remember talking to you, Damien, and you said you had talked to the ASICS rep, and you said that is a great gig, like, you know, jump at that. So yeah, so I accepted it, absolutely delighted, booked my flights, was ready to go. Then Beast of the East hit, all flights cancelled, couldn't get 2 feet outside our door, so I missed the first meeting. So I'm there looking at photos and stuff like that, and I'm at home sitting there with snow everywhere. So it was later that year we went to Warrington that I got to meet everyone. And it was actually interesting because you go into a room, you don't know anybody. You're as nervous as hell going in there and there's like 30, 40 people in there. But it just seemed straight away, it's just a click. You know, it's easy to talk to people. You know, you just felt at home there.
I think though that's the running community, and I think that is just it in general, and that's why like these, you know, the social runs and stuff like that people have at the moment, it's kind of along that premises where you go along as on your own, you know nobody, but at the end of the run you know 40, 50 people there without even thinking about it.
Yeah, that's exactly, isn't it? And it's like your common denominator is running, but it doesn't really matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how much money you earn. It doesn't matter what car you drive. It's about your love of running.
Yeah, 100%. And you've had, you go on a few trips, Jonathan, you've been away a few times with the crew as well. And obviously, you know, you do get, you know, nice little kit drops and shoe drops and everything like that. But what has it brought to you over the time since you've been there now, which is now, what is it, 6 years?
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, a marathon PB that you couldn't get me. So for people who aren't aware, Holly paced me in Dublin, which actually was at the time an official ASICS event. And we had our team meeting there and Holly paced me to 3:23, which is still my PB to this day. Damon, the prior year, paced me to 3:56.
You barely got there, so less of it.
it can sound a bit cliche. And look, we go on about the kit, and that's great. You know, it's absolutely unbelievable, the kit. But it's the friendships, you know, talking to people. Like, there's a few people who've been on the team or have left the team that you'd still talk to today. You know, and they may have left 2-3 years ago. As I said, you go over there maybe twice a year, I might meet them, and you're, you know, straight into a room. It's like you were seeing them every single day, talking to them. So, you know, that's some of the best things about it. I would say one of the best experiences in recent time was the World Championships in Budapest. Like, that was an unbelievable opportunity. So that was an international meet. It's a lottery, you know. There's so many people who want to go on that, and that was absolutely amazing. That's to get to see an international event, be up so close to watching that event as well. The whole thing was amazing. So kit is excellent. As I said, I've tried so many different pairs of runners. I wore Kayano for, you know, my first 8 years of running, and that was the only shoe I wore. I had about six pairs of them, but I got introduced to more shoes along the way, you know, and you're starting to get to, you know, the speed shoes, you know, you have your trail shoes, you have your triathlon shoes, you know, getting those and getting to test them out, you know, it's been excellent.
Holly, how did ASICS come along for you? As in, like, where did that call come from to be involved with the frontrunners?
So I was lucky enough to be a sponsored athlete before frontrunner started. So I was racing for ASICS. So, and I got involved in 2014. That's when my journey started. This is my 10th year with ASICS. And then as my sort of career developed, and then the ASICS Front Runner started, so it didn't actually start in the UK till 2017. It's been running a lot longer in Germany. It's been, I think when they started, it's 2010. And as the years have gone on, they've added countries. We now have like 30 countries, and we're always adding more. So I was asked to be a front runner as part. At the time, we had something called like a pro team. So we had a couple of other athletes that were sponsored and coaches. And then from there, they asked me if I would be interested to take on the role as the community manager. And I wasn't really sure because I was working for England Athletics actually, and I'd just been made redundant, and it was sort of perfect timing. And I went away on one of these international meets that Jonathan was talking about. And I'll be honest, it was completely mental, this meet. There was a night race. There was, everyone was drinking beer. It was just crazy. And at the time I was still competing to a reasonable level. And I was just like, I don't know if I could do this. It's not if it's my sort of thing. Also, I must admit, I wasn't the sort of person that hung around with loads of people. I was a bit more of a loner. And so for me, it was just like really, whoa, happy, clappy, mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is not my thing. And I came away and they were like, you know, just, I said, okay, I'll give it a go. And here I am. I'm still here. And yeah, it's evolved hugely. It's changed a lot since when we started. And the team around me, the central team, and the team that helps me has expanded, and it's become much more refined, shall we say. And also the opportunities that the front runners get have changed a lot. It has got much, much better, and we can talk about that if you want, but the opportunities that they get are completely different. And the way that ASICS as a brand look at the front runners is very, very different to when I started. The front runners are an integral part.
I would say, Holly, I think that's ASICS down to a T at the moment. And that's even with their shoes now in the last, you know, 8 months, their shoes have totally, totally changed to where now everything just seems to be a lot more progressive, a lot more, you know.
Modern.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. You know, so I think that's just the brand overall. Like, I'll say straight off, right? ASICS for me were very old fashioned, you know, same gel.
They lost their way.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden, when they bought out, I think the Kiano was the first one last year, came out. And
the Nova Blast.
Nova Blast.
That changed.
Then you went to Nimbus. Then you went to new Nimbus. You went to new Cumulus. Kiano.
Yep.
Like, they're now gone so much better of a shoe. Like, they were a shoe now where I work in a triathlon shop. That's a shoe. It's one of the first shoes now I bring out because they're just so much better.
It helps with the triathlete, like Blumenthal wore the Metaspeed Skies, or Metaspeeds at the beginning, and triathlon has really. If you look at lots of the triathletes, they'll all be wearing the ASICS Metaspeed, and you know, we got one of the first world records in the Metaspeed Sky, and that's evolved, and we've got the next one coming out in March, which is amazing. So, it's very exciting.
So, how do I apply? What's the rules? Holly, do you want to go through them as you would know them more than Jonathan, because Jonathan hasn't done it in, you know,
Yeah,
six years.
I mean, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Would Jonathan get in the team now if he applied? Who knows?
I would love to see that. I should have asked you to find that cover letter. He said that time for it.
I would love to. I can actually normally go in. We've changed our website though, but I can normally go in and see everyone's applications. But it's a discussion I've had with my team captain. You know, like actually, I think a lot of them, if they reapplied now, probably wouldn't get in because honestly, the people that apply. First of all, we have thousands of applications. I go through every application. This is why I look like I do. Awful. Because I go through every application. You can't see this, guys. He'll probably take a screenshot of me.
I put a screenshot up there though, rather, sorry.
I've aged a lot. Yeah, I'm only 29. But yeah, so it's there's a lot of applications to go through. The applications have also changed over time. We used to ask for loads more detail, and it's just too much. Now it's much more refined. So when you apply, it's the very simple question that we want to know is why would we pick you? Like, why should you be a front runner? And if you think about, I'm reading through thousands of applications, and if they all sound the same, what is going to stand out? We used to have, you'd send in a picture, you'd say, like what shoe size you have, what your favorite shoes are. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's too much. Now I just want to be able to see your Instagram. That's really important. If all your socials are private, I have to be able to see what you're about. It's not about, I'm not looking to see how beautiful you are. I just want to see when you say I love Asics and I've been wearing it forever, and then when I open your Instagram, all you're wearing is Nike. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with wearing a different brand, but it's going to make me think, well,
He's told me he likes Asics. Yeah.
What's your motive here? I'm not saying that everyone needs to be head to foot in Asics. I completely get that, you know, but it's for me, it's a slight red flag if you're just, I've never seen, there's nothing in Asics at all. It does help that you're a brand lover. And then you just have to sell yourself in the application. Like, why should I pick you? There are certain things. So if you've got private Instagram, then we'll swipe on, unfortunately. If you use ChatGPT, which is a new thing, I've never had that in applications before, but a lot of people are using ChatGPT, and I
Okay.
do know if you have used ChatGPT, it's quite clear to me and my team captain who helps me as well. We're quite savvy in that respect. Again, it's a shame if you have to use ChatGPT. It looks really good, but actually it tells me nothing about you. And then just sell yourself. There's a lot of people that started running during lockdown, which I understand. Great stories. And a lot of people talk about mental health. Again, really important with our sound mind, sound body, catch phrase, philosophy. But tell me something about yourself. Tell me something interesting. Some of the favorite ones have been people telling me about, what they have for breakfast or what milk do they have in their tea and their favorite tea bag. And this is what they do. Just something written a poem. Said something about like their first childhood memory or like their dad wore those trainers and those are the ones and just something that makes me go, oh, that's really interesting,
It's
rather than
authentic.
just
It's a bit
say,
authentic, really. Do
yeah,
you know what I mean? You just what you
it's
want.
authentic. I'll be honest, like I'm reading thousands of stanzas and some of them are carbon copies. Carbon
Jonathan, can
copies.
you remember what you wrote?
I cannot, because well, the application was so different back then as well, as Holly was saying, because I remember like you were like your photos of you had to be a running photo, your PBs had to go in there,
Yeah, we don't ask that now.
so it was a lot different. It was like there were so many questions, so I can't even remember at this point, but obviously I said something good. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was the only Irish person
Yeah,
made
I
who
think he was the
applied.
only Irish.
Yeah,
Yeah,
no,
you were the only
because
Irish person,
I
so.
know. I think I applied that time as well, I think. So
Maybe because you were
I
wearing Nike or something,
well, I
you know?
wear I because I work in a shop, I have to wear all brands. I cannot be brand loyal to anybody, and I put my hand up for it. I have to be able to sell every brand.
Right,
So
well, you can't apply then.
I'm not. I don't
Yeah.
worry. I only went on today to see what it was like to apply.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's totally valid. That is another thing. So this is the thing. If you apply to be a front runner, you have to realize that you're going to be a brand ambassador. Therefore, you're going to be given shitloads of kit and shoes. Isn't that right, Jonathan? Like by the end of, especially if you've been in the team as long as Jonathan, you'll be like, Jesus Christ, not more stuff. And so you're going to be dripping in it. And so you are expected to wear that kit. Like, so if you're racing in Nike or something, then that's not going to go down very well. We give you enough stuff that shouldn't be an issue. So you are a brand ambassador. You should don't apply if you love wearing Vaporflies or Alphaflies, whatever, because there's no point. And I'm not dissing you. I honestly, if there's another shoe that you prefer, then stay with them. Don't go to ASICS. It really helps that you're a brand lover. And that's what I'm looking for as well. So when you do apply, if you get in, you will be contacted by myself. What I normally do is I'll message you, but I will message people who are on the shortlist as well, so don't get excited. And then I'll call you. And that's what the bit that I love, the best bit, is when I speak to people. Yeah, well, it's always worrying if they're not excited. But when they're really excited, then that's, yeah, it's like alarm bells. They're like, okay, bye. So that's the cool bit. And then obviously that's when all the crazy enough stuff starts. That's when you get bombarded by all the other front runners. Bear in mind, there's 700 front runners globally, and they'll all want to be your friend. Yeah.
So I did actually go on today just to see what it was. And it is very, like, I think it was pretty much, no, just your name, your, you know, as you said, your URL for your Instagram, which again, remind people, make sure it's public. But also then it was just sell yourself for 500. I think it was 500 words was the max.
Yeah.
And that was much more
than it used to be.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So it is extremely straightforward. So just go in. It's going to take you, you know, as long as you want it to take. It could take you 2 minutes if you wanted to. It could take you 2 hours. Go in, apply. How long left till it's closed?
The last day to apply is the 29th of February. So the closing date is like the 1st of March. So you've still got a while.
You still got plenty of time. This is going out
Monday,
whatever day we are now. At the moment, we're on Thursday the 15th at the moment. So, you know, you have about a week and a bit to apply. So you've plenty of time. Go on. And all right, where did it go to apply?
They should go onto the ASICS.com website, or if you go onto any of our socials as well, our Instagrams, so Jonathan's or mine, or the ASICS Frontrunner Instagram, it will all be on there. I mean, we don't stop going on about it. So you should be able to fly the application. Or I can give you a link that you can put on here, which would be good. But it's ASICS.
Yes, we'll put that up. Of course we will. You mentioned at the start of the ASICS Frontrunners, there's a lot more that the people, you know, opportunities for people. What are these opportunities that Jonathan will be availing of very soon? If he's asked back, by the way, because he is he might not be asked back. This would be his last day.
He's signed his agreement, so he's got to stay for one more year. But we may not sign it. If we get some better people, then there's always time.
It's no problems.
Can I just say as well, first of all, we want to take some Irish people on this year. I can't ever tell you exactly how many people we're taking on, but we do need some Irish people. We've had quite a few applications, but we still want more. So keep on applying. And so when you get into the team, you can expect to get you get four shoe drops a year, but you also get if I get other shoes in that need to be reviewed, I'll send them out to certain people to review, people that I think are really good at reviewing stuff, and so you get that opportunity. You get two big kit drops a year. Sometimes you get other extra bits as well, but that's like, you probably get like 15 items on each drop. It does vary. You also get your own discount code, so you can buy as much clobber as you want throughout the year. It's a huge discount. You get to go to two meets a year that's organized by myself, and they're all paid for. You just need to get yourself there. Well, one of them, we actually pay for your expenses to get there, which is great for the Irish lot. Mm-hmm. Because we've had one meet in Ireland, which is Dublin.
Yeah.
We should do another one, actually. So that's all paid for. And at those weekends, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But it is like a family getting together. We do have a great time, and we have a premium meet every year, which just started, which is sort of extra special, which Jonathan, you didn't come to this year, which you missed out. It was amazing.
I know.
So it's like, you know, staying in somewhere special, you know, hot tubs, great food, activities. And then the biggest thing is you have lots of content creation. So that's the thing which you're, in terms of money's worth, you're getting amazing money's worth, because we have videographers, photographers that create all this content, which is given to you to share on your socials. So if you're worried that your social media isn't great at the moment. Don't worry about that. I'm not looking for people with amazing social media. I am looking for people that have some sort of running content on their social media. But we can help you with that. We can make it better and, you know, help you with all of that. But it's not, you know, we've taken people on with like 100 followers. It's not about that. It's not about getting influencers.
It's what you do to promote running to them 100 followers, really, is what you're kind of looking for.
Yeah, we want you just to show your love of running and that you're out there and doing stuff with your community and with our community. And, you know, it's not all... We want you to be genuine and authentic. Mm. We don't want any sort of fake stuff. So, and that's really important with the team. And I think that's what's been good since I came on. I wanted that to be my biggest thing, was I wanted the team to be much more diverse, which it wasn't, not just in, you know, how we look, but, you know, just in terms of our ages, our speeds. People used to think the front runner was all about being fast. It's not. It's about being we've got people who, we've got Kerry, who's Olympian. We've got people who've just done part runs. It's about looking at the front runner team and saying, oh, there's someone in that team that's just like me. And then I think it used to not be the case. And I think that now we are definitely the most diverse team out there as front runners. I always say that, and I will put my hand up and say that's definitely true. I feel that we have someone in the front runners that's like you. And I only want to get that, improve that, and I want to make that better. And as a result, ASICS now use the front runners for a lot of their campaigns, a lot of their PR, a lot of their promotion. You know, gone are the days where it's fitness models.
Yeah.
When you walk into a store, you'll see like a front runner in a campaign on social media or actually in a store. So that's really cool. And I think it's much more relatable to people who go into a store and they want to buy trainers and they'll go, oh, look, there's Alan, who's one of the front runners. And
yeah,
he's running on the trails in Austria or something. So you get those opportunities to do that.
That's it, Jonathan. Okay. As a funder, you've just signed your contract, and you know, what's expected from you though? As in, what are ASICS expecting from you?
So
pretend Holly's not listening now on this part, right? You can be honest, okay? Be honest.
Well, we do have minimum KPIs that we have to get, and we have to post at least twice a month on our social media, three times. But it's actually, you know, if you're out there running, if you're out there, you're running and you're...
Someone
you're
hasn't active. Read his contract, has he?
That's because I do way more than three. So, you know, I'm
going to slip anything into that contract, Jonathan. Jesus Christ.
Right, let's rip that contract up.
But, you know, you're expected to... have content on your Instagram, like, so you're having it like those posts. We used to have blogs. We've taken that away now. We used to do 4 blogs a year, but it's more about the content that you're putting out there now. So, you know, using your reels, using your stories, using your posts and stuff like that to, you know, show your love for running. You have to go to one meet a year. So I've already got my stuff booked for our next meet, and I'm going to make the premium meet this year, so I'll make the 2 meets, you know. So, because I suppose the one thing as well for me, John, being here since 2018, 2020 and 2021 were a write-off just with lockdowns and stuff like that. So, you know,
This is like a new break years as well for you, like, because there was a lot, obviously, for, you know, a lot of people who were outside of, you know, outside the country. For a lot of people, they missed the 2-3 years of being able to go to a lot of events, and they were all cancelled and everything like that. So for a lot of people like Jonathan, who's been in a long time, this is now an opportunity to get back out and to meet people again with it.
Yeah, because like last year, it was about a 2-year gap between when I was able to go to when I went to our last one in Barnsley. So that's... Have I missed anything, Holly? Should I read the contract again?
Yeah, you've obviously we have to quite do
short reviews. I always make sure to do my short reviews. You know, you get your kit, and you have to be honest about it as well. You're not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to say these are the best runners in the world if they're not. You know, we're there to test them. We're there to, you know, give our true opinion on them. But we do have to review those. So they will be up on the ASICS website. So all those reviews, we do them, you know, after we've tested the kit. That's one of the key things that we're doing. And Holly and Rachel make sure that we have those done.
Yeah, but these are just easy. things to be doing. Do you know what I mean? No, Holly, we've mentioned, and I ask this because we mentioned Instagram quite a lot. For people who aren't on Instagram, there's people on Facebook, or there's people on, you know, what was it, Jonathan? Bebo, wasn't it? Bebo back in the day. Can these people apply, or does it have to be Instagram?
Yeah, you need to have Instagram. You need to have Facebook, because all my communication is through Facebook. We have our own private Facebook pages as well as email. Mm-hmm. But you need to have a Facebook page, and you need to have Instagram. Yes, you do have to have socials. A lot of people have TikTok now. I mean, it's a whole different thing. I don't have TikTok. I can't bear the thought of it. But it's what all the young kids are doing. So, and we want young kids. We do want youngs. I mean, when I joined the team, I was the oldest person on the team at the age of late 30s, which I thought was insane. So I wanted to change that. But now, as a result, we're a bit of an older team. So we need some under 25.
Well,
really.
I can safely say, if that's the case, Brian should not get in, because he'll drag that age way up.
Oh, is he older brother?
Oh, he's no, Brian is the co-host, the other co-host of this. He's not a brother, but he's way older.
Yeah, we don't want him. No,
65, is he 65, is he, Jonathan? Something like that. But he's ready, so don't get Brian in, because he's too old for that.
Okay. Make sure you give me a surname so I know.
Yeah, Brian Horn is gone. Okay. Scratch
I'll
it.
I'll write that down.
Okay, so I'm going to finish with two questions, okay? So first one, Holly, and this is a tough one. You're going to probably have to think of this. So Jonathan, you think of it while I'm asking this. Your favourite moment as a front runner? Jonathan, if you have an answer, you can go first. I'll edit out the silence.
Well, look, I mentioned it earlier. There's probably two highlights. Holly was able to name three things earlier, so I can do two highlights. I think the Dublin meet at that time was unbelievable. Up on stage at the marathon expo beforehand talking, and then doing the marathon, being paced by Holly and doing a PB. So that'll always stand as an amazing memory. And then Budapest is the other one of the biggest memories.
Holly, have you thought of it?
Yeah. Yes. So again, probably, yeah, no, there is one standout for me. And that is the Paris International Meet, which was around the Paris Marathon, which actually is happening again this year. So we sponsored Paris Marathon, and actually my husband, now husband, he wasn't my husband then, was part of the other. This is actually the other thing that we do, is we do crazy adventures every year that's filmed, and they make a short film about it. I've done one where I've ran from Dubai to Oman. There was just a female, five girls that did it, and that was all filmed. And then that year, I can't remember what year it was, which was in the coincided with Paris Marathon, the international meet, was my husband ran from London to Paris. So he started in London, he finished, there was 10 of them. And so the 10 of them ran 10 days, London to Paris, and then they finished with Paris Marathon. So we all ran. So I waited for him to come in, and so I had to see him, and then we ran Paris Marathon as well. And I actually paced one of the front runners there as well, actually. I didn't pace him very well because he got slower and I just kept on going. And that was Aaron. But that was, again, a great meet. The international meets are amazing, because you get to see everyone from all over the world, and it's a massive party. It's exhausting. I will say it is exhausting, but it's brilliant. So that was my favourite moment by far.
And one thing I want to add on there as well, like you mentioned meeting international people. So I went to Berlin for work, and I was able to meet up with front runners there. They brought me around the city. We ran around. We did, you know, show me all the sights and all that. Like, there's that opportunities. If I wasn't a front runner, I wouldn't have had that, you know. So, but you've those experiences as well. It doesn't matter what country you're in. There's a good chance you might end up meeting up with a front runner.
Yeah, or as you could just argue, because, you know, as you said, you all get that kind of relationship to Instagram and to, you know, Facebooks and stuff like that. Face and all out of it. But anyway, last question, Jonathan.
Oh, can I just quickly say, sorry,
of course.
Talking about that, the international thing, the other thing that you have is obviously we have ASICS races all over the world. And as a front runner, you get to get bibs to those races. You put your name down, and there is a lottery, but most people get a bib. So you get to race all over the world. And as a result, when you go to these races, the community managers in those countries organise shakeout runs, dinners, etc. And that's how people get to hang out as well. So you get that as well, which is an amazing opportunity. And that's how you meet lots of people.
Lads, I'm all of a sudden really loving Asics.
It's a good gig.
My Instagram for the next 10 days is going to be full of Asics. last question. Jonathan, you first. Who is your favourite front runner?
You can't say me, this question. It's obviously me.
Yeah, I know. But I know who this question came in from. So,
was it me?
No. Brian sent in that question, you know. So he's fishing for it to be him. So look, you know, he's a Scottish lad, you know. We'll give him it, will we? Since he asked the question.
Will go on.
Only if it's true.
Yeah, you know. I don't have any favourites. They're all my favourites.
John, we already discussed. You need to be honest. You need to be authentic. Be honest and authentic. Answer the fucking question. Answer it. There's a gun to your head now. Who's your favourite? Holly, who's your favourite?
Well, I can only really say one person, and that's my husband, Pete.
Is he a front runner as well?
That half
wasn't rigged, I have no doubt.
Well, he wasn't my husband when he joined, put it that way. So I married a front runner. So there has been marriages within the front runner teams, and there's also been children. So
investigations into this. Were you together when he applied to be a front runner?
No, we weren't.
Okay,
we did know each other before. Don't worry, we knew each other. But if it isn't Pete, I have to say my brilliant work wife, and that is my team captain, which is Rachel, because she's.
I thought you were going to say Rachel to begin with. You know. She's
Pete's in the other room.
He's the glass against the glass back there. That's what he's listening to.
I've shot him in his box.
Yeah, right. I'm going to finish on a recommendation. For Asics and for yourself, Holly, all right? For your next Irish trip, all right?
Yeah.
So this year is obviously too late, so we're going to cancel out this year. For 2025, make your trip to Ireland to the Cork City Marathon, which is usually a June weekend, sometime like in around that, over here. The runners there are holding the only official after party as well, held. We have it all up. We have a stage. We do interviews. We do everything up on the stage. No brainer. Cork City Marathon 2025 for the Asics Front Runners Irish trip.
It sounds amazing because we haven't actually done like a summer trip. And would we be able to get bibs for that? If we can get bibs for that, would you be able to sort that for us?
We're the podcast partners of the Cork City Marathon. So we have connections. Don't you worry.
That's looking amazing. Can you cope with 50 front runners?
Oh, 50? Fucking not a bother. Easy. I deal with the hardest one of all, so it's all right.
Okay, you're on.
Stay in your house.
Yeah, I'll stay in my place. Yeah, there's no problems. So that's my recommendation. I'll talk to Eamon tomorrow to tell him I recommended that.
I'm guessing he knows nothing about this.
Zero, because it only came to me a minute ago. So it's... I could be editing this out, so we'll see. But Holly, thank you very, very, very much for coming on. Really appreciate it to talk all things running yourself and obviously, more importantly, the Asics Front Runners. Jonathan, thank you again for coming on as co-host this time for your promotion.
I am third choice because obviously Andy's going to Seville, so he didn't come on either. So I'm third choice.
Rory,
you're
fourth actually, Johnny, because Rory couldn't make it. But Holly, just before we go, give me the last dates again. What's the date for people to apply for the Asics Front Runners?
The very last day to apply is the 29th of February, leap year. The very last day. You're going to ask me what time, but just get it done by
28. Get it done by the 28th.
Yeah.
Give yourself the day to get it done by the 28th.
Exactly, because I've got to get through all those applications. So the earlier you get it done, the better. I'm going to be very tired by that day.
Yeah. And again,
so get it done now.
Check out Holly's Instagram or Jonathan's Instagram or Asics Front Runners Instagram as well. We will also have it up on the Runner's Diary podcast Instagram. So go on it. Press the link. Very easy, very straightforward. Have it done in no time. And soon enough, you could be on this show next year after the Cork Marathon, hopefully, at the Essex Frontrunners Cork event. Holly, Jonathan, thank you for joining me. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Holly, and thank you, Jonathan, for joining us. Brian?
Interesting. Yeah, good. I think what's interesting as well is the last couple of guests there have been, obviously last week we had the 5 miles easy and the two girls there from UK, and again this one saw a bit of variety coming in. I like that. Looking forward, as you said, I haven't heard it yet, but looking forward to hearing a different angle on running. We've had a lot of coaches and a lot of runners on, obviously, so
yeah,
good to hear and different stories.
It's definitely like they're bringing so much more into the Essex Frontrunners at the moment. So it is going to be very interesting. There is, I did try to get you signed up, Brian.
I'm signed up for enough.
You'll have to listen to it to realise why you're not accepted, okay?
I can only imagine.
I tried my best to get you into it, but you know, you have to listen now and figure out why you could not get into it. All right, so make sure you tune in for that.
Sure, something to do with age, is it?
Yeah, that's all. Whoa, jeez.
Kenny, as I said to you, Kenny hasn't told me you need to get new material. He's getting tired of you. You mentioned my age.
So, look, another week down, week 81 in the bag, week 82 next week. Obviously, keep an eye out for our YouTube episode 3 coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it for another week. Until next week, we'll talk to you all again soon.